Welcome to episode 47 of Justifying the F Word, and Megan just reminded me that I am not quite 47.
Well, we are going to celebrate that in May.
Yeah.
So maybe this is in celebration of your upcoming...
In super, super, super anticipation of my Feliz Cumpleaños.
Yeah. In May.
In May.
Yeah. Just slippery slope.
I will say I was getting my head shorn today.
Yeah.
Because I get my head shorn.
Yeah.
It's one of those tender mercies in life. I could do it myself, but I always leave a patch.
You sure do.
Which
there's been quite a few times I've been like, have you been out and about? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, you have like it's not a mohawk because it's like a random patch in the back.
Well, it happens because you can't see behind your head. I'm not an owl.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I was having my head shorn and the lady who shorned my head, I was telling her about how we like to travel. And she said, well, you guys seem to travel a lot. I said, well, we did when we were younger. And I said, we really didn't start traveling again till I was in my 40s. And she's like, well, wait, you're in your 40s? And I said, yeah. She goes, I would have put you in your 30s. I said, well, I'm 46. So I said, I'm getting a little long in the tooth here. And she said, I can't believe that. I can because I can feel it. But anyway, it was a...
Can you?
She may have just been saying it to make me feel better about myself.
I would run with it.
It's not like the time you asked the ladies on when I was turning like
40,
my age, and they said he looks 48. So that was a bad.
They were also super drunk.
They were super drunk, but yeah. that should have at least played to my advantage, not the other way around.
True.
Well, guys, we are super excited to bring this to you. This has been, I know we keep always talking about how crazy things are, but we are bags packed. Our niece who's watching our kids just showed up. We just gave her the lay of the land for.
We passed the keys.
We passed
over.
The torch.
The to, conch.
On who's going to be
conch,
taking care
if you will.
Of. She's got the conch. She's got the well-being of the kids. Yeah. And we are leaving for Mexico. So we tried to record last night and then we found out that there was 4 hours of undone homework.
Yeah, it was one of those. There was lots of tears last night and yeah, it was good. So we're here.
With that being said, Megan and I have decided that we are making an executive decision with our podcast. And this is to help with a couple things. So first off, you want to give the executive decision.
So after some discussion of how we can improve and do better, we have decided that we are going to go to every other week. We want to be able to dig a little bit deeper So we're going to be going after this episode. It'll be every other week. You'll be able to download and be ready for some new content.
And just with the school year starting and everything going on, in order to get ready, and like I said, I know you guys probably think we wing this most of the time, but it takes quite a bit of time to get things ready. And hopefully all of our illustrious sponsors are understanding.
Oh, they're sliding up, man.
Well, I think the royalty checks will just keep pouring in.
Yeah.
But anyway, we want to be able to put more time into what we're doing, and we feel like we've been rushed. So we made the executive decision. So like I said, we're not going anywhere. We're just moving to every other week.
Yeah. So twice a month, you'll be able to listen. And if you
And those will be, honestly, those will be the two best days of your month.
Best days or best hours?
Best hours.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I mean,
it's like warm honey being drizzled in your ear hole.
Totally. Which I know. I'm just thinking of honey going in my ear hole and then it just think about sticky.
Well, here's my thing about honey. I always wanted to like honey. I remember
same.
There was this kid, Sean Fisher, that I went to elementary school with, and he had bees. And I remember he brought in beeswax, and everybody's like, oh, it's so good, and everybody's chewing on it. And I'm like, I'll take some. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so Quinn and I both have tried it. We like it as an added ingredient Like,
yeah, if you're taking the place of sugar, trying to make something healthier.
Yeah. Or if it's like even honey butter, that's not bad because you're lading it with lard.
I mean, you're cutting it with lard. It could be the fact that it's a
bee poop. No, just
yeah. Kidding. I was going to say it's insect excrement.
Yeah, but our oldest, like, she's like, there's nothing better than honey on a sandwich. So.
And I think you fell for the same thing. I think you were probably beguiled by a honey and peanut butter sandwich sometime in yeah. your life.
Yeah, no.
And everybody's like, oh, it's so good. And you took one bite and you're like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
how? You're Barry like, B. Yeah. Benson, what did you do to me?
Barry B. Benson. So, yes. Yeah, so we are moving every other week. Like I said, if you are just tuning in, finding us, there is, after this episode, there'll be 47 backlogged episodes. That's also, too, is we wanted to make sure that we had content out there. And then moving forward, we want to just fine tune to dig in a little bit deeper and that, not that we haven't, it's just also a sidebar to that is,
we're working full time.
Yeah. Both of us are working in that. And it's, this is something that we want, to bring value to people and value to us, and also not be like, oh my gosh, like we need to get this done. And it's a panic. We want to be able to come, feeling fulfilled, and hopefully you're walking away feeling fulfilled.
Yeah. And speaking of new listeners, we have a pretty good idea, maps of who's tuning in where.
Alabama, Arkansas. So there's no Arkansas, but the Alabama
contingent that's sweet tuning home. In. We all of a sudden, I was like, wow, we're a
sweet home.
I was like, sweet home. We're big in Alabama. Yeah.
Which sidebar to that sweet home.
So if you are one of our Alabama yeah. listeners, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Okay,
so my sidebar is Quinn's band. He, as he's talked in previous episodes, so all through college, he's played in a band, being married.
And do you want me to sign anything for you?
Yeah. So he's played some really big gigs, but there has been a lot of gigs where there's like five people in a bar. Like, it just to the point where Quinn can tell you painful
where the whole band's watching whatever sitcom.
Yeah. You're just like, oh my gosh, like just get this over. We have 3 hours, but nobody would pay attention. And I've seen it because I would be the person, the innocent bystander, just being like, wow, there's nobody here. And they would be playing their hearts out. Sweet Home Alabama came on, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it was. Like, there was people that came out of the woods. And then it was like on the dance floor.
And then it's over. And
then it was like, gone. It went back into the hills like every time. So anyway.
Yeah. So thank you, Alabama.
Alabama.
So we had a great week. So Megan and I you guys have heard that we've been going to a lot of concerts. We saw Roger Waters from Pink Floyd.
That we did. Quinn.
That was good. Yeah. You know, Roger Waters, if you haven't tuned into Roger Waters or seen him, he definitely has his opinions, but he's definitely a great musician at the same time. So,
yeah. And was, I mean, and he's passionate, which is
his stage yeah. show was super cool.
Yeah. So we are in our family, a huge Pink Floyd like fans. I mean, enough that our kids did not realize until maybe they were in middle school that they're like, oh, other kids were not raised having to know every like song.
Backstory
like, about Pink Floyd.
You mean you didn't have to listen to Dark Side of the Moon start to
yeah,
finish?
Yeah, like, and it was like, I remember one time our daughter one time got in the car and she said, my friend wanted a suggestion for music. And she's like, what should I suggest? And I said, Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, if they've never listened to it. And her friend came back and was like, oh my gosh, like the first time listening to it. And she goes, I really wish I could remember the first time. I was probably like two. And my parents were like, what song is this? So anyway, so seeing Roger Waters, he played half of the Dark Side of the Moon album. So for me, that was a huge highlight. And if you are a Pink Floyd fan, he did a huge tribute to Sid.
Yeah.
And deal. Yeah, so it was really good.
Yeah. So that was great. And then honestly, and I know we keep talking about it was just insane. Like
it has been to the point.
I think I drove 2,000 miles within the state of Utah yeah. last week. It was absolutely insane with trying to get everything ready for Old Mexico and get that done. And then you worked all day Sunday and then took Sienna to Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah. So, went with our oldest. One of my favorite all time books is To Kill a Mockingbird. And believe it or not,
Boo Radley.
I don't know what happened in my high school, but like, there are so many books that were like classics that never read. And so I read them as an adult. So therefore I made my oldest read To Kill a Mockingbird, and she absolutely loved it as well. And so we went and saw the play. And if you have an opportunity of going, downright, like, I'm not going to lie, had some tears. A few tears.
So we kicked around a bunch of ideas on what we wanted to talk about this week.
The plague.
Well, yeah, our kids.
We had two with the strep.
It was great. We came right back from Labor Day weekend, and our middle and our youngest both got the destroying angel, like hit them hard. They both had strep and laid them out. So that was a good reason.
So I got to do online school this last week with our kids on top of working, and
That was another, once again, why we did not record last night.
Yeah. We're moving on. Which, sidebar, I just want to brag. So don't judge me here. So one night I sat and our son, they both had strep, so they couldn't go to school. And I got the link, and with my son, I sat for 2.5 hours and did this math test. You know, it was very challenging. We worked through every single problem. There's 20 problems. Work through them. I don't know what happened at the end, because you're supposed to submit it, but he didn't submit. He didn't save it. So the next day when we went in, I was like, oh my, I can't sit 2 hours through him doing, because you have to do, you know, put the answer in. So I just want to let you guys know that I passed a fourth grade math test.
I'm so proud of you. So, oh my gosh, I am beaming.
And I only say, like, he did the work, but I wasn't going to sit through 2.5 hours again. So I passed a fourth grade math test.
Well, I digress. So going back into what we wanted to talk about, we kicked a lot of different subjects around. But one thing that Megan and I have been discussing at length is the whole idea of being able to ask a question, being able to ask why. And what I find so fascinating, or what we both found so fascinating about this when we were discussing this, is if you look at a child, and for any of you that have had kids out there, you know there is a point.
Why?
Why? Why?
Why do you have that hat?
Why wouldn't I have
that hat? Why do you have hair on your face?
I don't. It grew to my head, and then it grew down to my face. So
why are you wearing that sweatshirt?
I don't know. I don't know. Why? Why would I? Yeah, so it just goes on and on and on. And then what happens is we establish systems, right? We establish, whether that be beliefs, whether that be work, whatever, and we establish these systems in our lives, and we stop asking why, and we just all of a sudden fall into the system. So, you know, life is simply really a series of systems. So people assume that life is random, spontaneous, and unpredictable, but in all reality, patterns exist everywhere. Even when effort is made to avoid systems, they still control everything we do, everything we achieve, and everything around us. But the question about that is, once we buy into a system, a lot of times we buy into that system because it's environmental, it's around us, or it's the way we learned it. I shared in a few episodes ago about trying to pry the top off a deodorant thing over and over and over for like over half my life.
Like using your teeth.
Yeah. Like being like,
please don't chip my teeth.
And then one time Megan said, why don't you spin the wheel on the bottom? And I was like, what? But I had never.
And I'm not going to take credit for that, because I saw this like thing on Instagram and this chick was like, I spent 35 years of my life like
fighting this. Yeah. But I had never asked why. Like, I had never stopped to question the system that I had developed. So what we want to dig into is that. So Megan,
that's me.
Yeah. What's your opinion on the whole thing?
Yeah. So I think in, like Quinn said, every facet of your life, we reach a point. So let's take work, for instance. In work, you step into a new position and there is a culture, right? And it could be amazing, but there could be things that they have always done. And there's a point where a lot of times if you're the person that speaks up, people are like, oh, you got to keep that down. And I think a lot of times it's frowned upon, like asking the, like, why do we do it this way?
Well, can I interject for a second?
Yeah.
I think systems and traditions almost go, I think they're synonymous with each other. I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times the answer is like, well, it's always been done this way, or, you know, and I think it could be the way you're raised. It could be whatever, however that system is. But I do think that the surrounding groups look and they're like, yeah, no, like you're not supposed to ask questions or step out of it. And to go back, like I'm going to go back because I talked a little bit about To Kill a Mockingbird, right? I like Atticus Finch. If you've never read it, I hope most of you guys have. Is
Atticus Finch? You read Atticus?
Yeah, no, I read him. Well,
you read To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I hope that you've read the book, but Atticus Finch in the book, he was a person that asked the why. So he looked at it
into some very hard questions.
Yes. And he was to the point where even at the end, they were like, he got kicked out of his position because he was the one standing up. But there was something, and granted, this is a fictional book, but it was something of a spark of change. And so I think that you have to have that person, which is weird. Because if you look all through history,
yeah, we'll right? dive into that.
We'll dive yeah. into that. But you look at it and it's one of those that if it's that person next to you saying, raising their hand at a work meeting, asking the why, you know, going against the grain, is kind of looking at them going, well, they need to be quiet. Like they're going to stir feathers. But if we look at the big picture, like through history, is these are people that are like iconic. They created change. They were the ones that were, you know, in a way fearless, where they stepped out and spoke up for, to know the why.
Well, it's interesting. So it's interesting you say that from a work standpoint. So we do a thing called the level 10 meeting, which if any of you guys employ the entrepreneurial ownership system, the EOS, which is quite a good time, but, at work, you'll know what I'm talking about, but we do level 10 meetings and we cascade our level 10s all the way down to the driver level. And one of our drivers brought up, hey, why do we do this way in our warehouse? And he made a major institutional change just because it was something he saw that was off the mark. And I think
can I put a sidebar to that? Is in the work world, you have a lot of times people that make big decisions that aren't in the day to day, right? Well, like him seeing the efficiency of how things were ran, had more of a like, hey, this is how the wheel turns, and more perspective sometimes of asking the why and saying, okay, well, this wheel is not spinning the way it should be, you know, where someone that's not necessarily in the day-to-day won't see that.
Well, a lot of times too, systems are developed just out of attrition may not be the right word, but that's just the first way it was figured out how to do it. So just because that system was figured out that way, nobody ever asked, why don't we do it differently? Or maybe small incremental changes were made, but really a deep dive wasn't done on it. And sometimes too, a lot of the systems that we have had in our lives, like let's say it's work or even parenting or whatever, is it may not be right. We just got it to work.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's just one of those things that like, hey, we got this to work. And then all of a sudden somebody else accepted it as gospel after that person left. And that person may have not have known what they were doing in the first place. They just got something to work.
Yeah, got it up and going. And I think sometimes just because you got it up and going, you don't stop. Our last episode was on was the last one about the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, and stopping and looking. And I think really stopping and asking the why, it starts that narrative. It's not necessarily always going to be, if you ask why, you're in the right, but it does bring up that of like, okay, is this, you know, what's the big picture? Are we seeing if we're just doing this because it works, or how can we make things better?
Well, and I hate to sound like a 60s dirty hippie here, but, you know, the whole idea, okay, I'm going to do a green light.
Green light.
I'm going to do a bumper sticker. If you haven't read Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights, you should. But he talks about all these different bumper stickers. So I'm going to throw out a bumper sticker, which would be the old 60s adage of question everything. Yeah. And I think if you live your life saying, well, it just is, or because I said so, those aren't good answers. So like when we parent, like one of the big things that we talk to our kids about is we give them the reason as to the why. Like
we'll stop and ask them, like, you know, we'll go through and then ask them, okay, why do you think we're putting so much emphasis on this? You know, or, you know, almost to them where they kind of explain back their like, and I think that's a great question to ask instead of just lecturing of like, hey, why do you think we're going about this way? You know, why are mom and dad doing this? And I think a lot of times you see what they might have no clue. And then you're like, okay, I got to like explain this. Or maybe they think it's a whole different reason because they're like, well, you just want to be mean, you know, or whatever.
Well, I would also say too, by asking the why and them explaining it to you gives you buy-in. And so just for example, when I was in college, I did an internship with a professor and we were mapping tectonic faults by measuring gravitational offset, which sounds a lot more complex than it is, but it was a fun little project. Mm. But I can remember my professor asking me like, well, what do you think we should do and why? And I remember going, wow, I have buy-in to what he's actually saying. And I've been in work situations too, where my seniors will say, well, what do you think we should do here? And they're asking a why question and I'm able to give an answer, not saying it's always going to be accepted. But I also think like, no matter what you're in, if you create a culture of dialogue in your household, with your spouse, with your kids, and at work, you're going to have more buy-in by everybody around you because you're just not, it's not a dictatorship. You're not just sitting there saying, this is the way it is.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, you're talking about relationships. So I had an experience. We had just moved to Utah and I got invited by someone that we kind of like an acquaintance we knew, said, hey, there's all these people I know, we're going to get pedicures. So I was like, I'm in, like, I don't know anybody. So we went, there was about 8 girls there. And so obviously when you go to get pedicures, you're only talking to the people that are on your right and your left because you're in one straight line. And so I was sitting by 2 people that I had never met. And so I was super excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to meet some new people. And I'm a pretty social butterfly. So I asked him every question I could think of.
The ladies. Not the ladies doing your nails.
No, like the people that were there with our group, you know, like everything, like, do you have children? Like, you know, do you work? I mean, like everything. And then after about 10 minutes of just like 3 kids. Yeah. You know, just like these short answers. And that I finally reached a point where I remember coming home and you're like, how was it? And you're like, babe, I had nothing to say. Like I literally like, because there was no repercussion of asking a question back.
Not repercussion.
Repercussion. Yeah, you can tell it's late. Repercussion.
There was no response. Nothing.
Response.
Back.
Yeah. Yes.
No reciprocation.
Reciprocation. That's the word we're looking for. And so I just bring that up. And how many times have you been in, and I've caught myself, where someone is sitting there just being like, how's your day? Like, that's so cool. And you're talking about yourself. Are you stopping and asking questions back?
Well, also, how many times do you miss a teachable moment. I know that was a social setting.
Yeah. But, and I use that as an example.
But also miss the opportunity to get to know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, let's say somebody at work questions you and says, hey, why do you do this? And you're just in a hurry. That's one thing that I drill down with my team all the time is I'm like, if somebody calls you with a question, make it a teachable moment. I'm like, take the time to teach them, like teach them the why. And so that way they become more empowered. And, or if your kid is saying, hey, why is it this way? And sometimes even though it's bugging the absolute shiz out of you, like, you know, taking that moment to explain it empowers them even further. And if you don't, what ends up happening is I think people stop asking because they don't want to look stupid.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Or they don't want to, like, they're like, we talked about in the very beginning of the episode, these systems get established and you get a system that works. And, you know, Megan can tell you this, like being a running coach, and I use this analogy in sales training all the time, is everybody, as long as there's no physical handicap, everybody can run, but very few people do it right. And so Megan gets paid a lot of money to teach people how to do it right. They can do it. They could run a marathon, but it could be wildly inefficient and wrong.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So the point is, don't ever be afraid to look stupid. Lord knows I don't have that problem, but don't never be afraid not to ask. I mean, always ask the question whether you're going to look stupid or not, or whether it's going to rock the boat or not, because number one, you're going to need to know. And one thing that I have struggled with, I will say, is especially getting into my F word years, I think this has become more apparent than ever, is I assumed everybody else had it figured out and I didn't. And then obviously the older I've gotten and the more I've dipped into the F word years, the more I've realized like how nobody really has it figured out. So I'm like, you know what? The best thing I can do is learn.
Well, and I think how many times you've been in a meeting or in a setting where, you know, maybe there's something going on. Let's say it's a work meeting and you're sitting there and you're like, this is just not adding up, or I have this question, but I don't want to look stupid. And let's say you finally get brave enough to do it. Every time that has happened, I've had people come up after and they're like, oh, I was wondering the same thing. I had the same thought process. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we are afraid of what our peers will think. If it slightly seems like you're going against the grain by asking a question.
Well, I will also say too, everybody's afraid to a degree about change.
Yes.
A perfect example to this.
Changes.
Try to face the strange.
I still have a deep voice.
So anyway,
Bowie
is...
Bowie in space.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So good. If you haven't watched The Flight of the Conchords, stop what you're doing and Google.
No. Listen to the whole podcast, then watch it.
Yeah. I listen to the whole podcast, review it, rate it, share it with friends, and then go on YouTube and type in David Bowie and Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's a great mockery.
Bowie and Spice.
It's a great mockery of David Bowie, and it's absolutely hysterical. But what I was saying is there's a lot of fear that comes with change. So sometimes you might know that you need to ask a question, but you're afraid of the change because it breaks the system. So a very small, minuscule example of this was I grew up and Megan grew up very similar, where we would do a big dinner at home every Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Both of our families, we lived in different states. Yeah.
Where both of our families would spend the day cooking, putting together this big thing. So,
and sidebar to that now, well, I feel like as a kid, I was bored that whole Christmas day because Christmas Eve day, just because it was just like the whole day was about cooking this meal.
And we usually got put to work cleaning the house.
Yeah. And it was just a busy day. But I think you were like, there's the magic of Christmas and this is what we've always done.
You got Andy Williams bumping in the background.
Yeah. And so there was nothing wrong with this tradition, but carry on.
Oh, and so anyway, 1 year, Megan asked the why.
Well, and I think it came from I was annoyed because I was like, big picture is that we're all together, right? And so it ended up being that like you would go, but it would only end up being like a half day so you could get home to help.
Oh, go ski.
Yeah. Go ski and like make pies. And I just was like,
everybody loves pie.
Yeah. And it was like, we didn't end up spending time together as a family. So
Megan saw that up at Snow Basin where we ski a lot, cause it's just close to the house. That they were doing a Christmas Eve dinner. And she's like, what do you think? And I remember feeling like almost like this guilt that I was letting down generations of my family.
Yeah, and I will say the first year that we did it,
we were a little apprehensive.
We were like, I don't know. And so Quinn and I went and it was like we skied all day with our kids. We had an amazing day. We went, put the skis in our car. We went in, had this nice dinner. It was like so fun. There was fireworks. There was Santa Claus. There was like all of this. And then after the fireworks and hot chocolate, we came home, watched a movie as a family, did that stuff. And it was the kind of deal that we were like, that's amazing. And so now our tradition, because our kids, literally, if we tried to take them out of their pajamas or out of our house on Christmas Day, I think they would like have a riot.
Yeah. But the whole point.
So now Christmas Day is a day that we're like, we open presents, but then we sit and kind of bake in between it. And we have a big dinner at home on Christmas Day. But it's as our kids are watching movies and we're all in the front room together.
So even though that seems like a very small, minuscule thing, it was a system or a tradition that we changed because we asked why. And we found great satisfaction and fulfillment. Doesn't mean the other way was wrong.
No, not at all. But I realized because I told him I was like.
But it was where did we find more enjoyment?
Yeah.
And so like if that's what floats your boat, that's great. But also, be willing to ask yourself, and that, like I said, that seems like such a small example, but that's just one facet of life of asking the why. Why am I doing it this way?
Yeah.
And I think there is probably one of my favorite thought processes, and I have to give probably Joe Rogan more credit for this than anybody else, is there's no intellectual honesty out there if you can't ask questions. Like he says all the time, like if it's a, say it's a belief system, right? Like a religion or like whatever, or it could be even your opinion on a scientific matter or whatever. If you can't ask a question, then it becomes a cult, right? Because you know, at that point you've lost intellectual honesty. And I think also even if it's something, whether it be politics or whatever, if you're not willing to be able to be open enough to be able to see all facets of a situation, then you lack intellectual honesty. You can come to your own opinion, but you have to just, once again, just saying it is and that so isn't a good enough answer. You need to be able to say why, and then form your own opinion. And sometimes your own opinion might surprise you. It might break with what you.
Yeah, it might. And I've talked about it a long time ago about in college having taken an argumentation class and having to write our whole paper on an opposing opinion. And all of that was kind of going back to that why. It didn't necessarily change my opinion, but it had like, well, why do people believe in this? And it kind of got that going. So I think more so is just having that understanding in that. And it's good to dissect that and see different viewpoints.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, yeah.
Well, no. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize you were stopping and looking up at me.
I don't have my glasses. Just so you guys know, my contacts were fogged over and my glasses are totally stretched out. So I don't have them on so I can kind of see Quinn.
I will say this is the latest we've ever done.
Yeah,
this,
but I can kind of see Quinn. He's kind of blurry and we're sitting 2 feet apart. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I'm really happy we're doing this late at night. And here's the reason why. Because this is our last sleep.
Yeah.
There's only one more sleep till Christmas. Yeah. So it's our last sleep before we get on an airplane tomorrow morning. So that's great. But I really think the biggest, one of the greatest examples of being true to what you believe in, but also asking the why, and sometimes asking the why makes you cut your own trail, is the book, The Fountainhead. Fountainhead by Ayn Rand.
I mean, Rush did dedicate one of their albums.
Yeah, 2112.
To the Fountainhead.
Yeah, by the band Rush was dedicated to the Fountainhead.
Look meaning, at me. Yeah, I do listen.
You do listen. They were going all for broke, and they were going to go after it. And if it didn't work, then they were going to basically just go get jobs. But they said, you know what? We're going to do it on our own, and this is the why.
And they so let's give just a quick overview of The Fountainhead, just so if someone hasn't read it, because it is an iconic book. Well,
let's just say Ayn Rand is probably my favorite author.
It is. Quinn will tell the kids constantly, if you read Atlas Shrugged, $100 in it, and I'll take you to sushi. And
we're wherever you want to go to dinner.
And yeah, he's always like, it should be right next to the Bible. But anyway, so Fountainhead is, I can't remember the guy's
Fountainhead,
name.
Henry Rourke. So The Fountainhead is a story about an architect. And the architect, he's probably one of the most talented architects that comes out.
And he wants to do modern.
He wants to do modern, but everything is classical. Classical as in like Greek, Roman type architecture. And at his point, he's not willing to compromise. He's willing to go in 100%.
Like even his classmates, his teachers, like all of them are like, you need to do this. You can get a job. You're so talented.
You could be the best in the world.
Yeah. And he goes to a guy that everyone thinks is like crazy.
And begs him for a job.
And the guy even was like, why do you want to work for me? You know, but he liked his style.
So there's a couple good quotes that we pulled out of The Fountainhead that just wanted to read, because I think it's pertinent to understanding the process of asking the why. And the first one I'm going to read is right here. It says, throughout the centuries, there were men who took first steps down new roads armed with nothing but their own vision. Their goals differed, but they all had this in common, that the step was first, the road was new, and the vision unborrowed, and the response they received was hatred. The great creators, the thinkers, the artists, the scientists, the inventors stood alone against the men of their time. Every great new thought was opposed. Every great new invention was denounced. The first motor was considered foolish. The airplane was considered impossible. The power loom was considered vicious. Anesthesia was considered sinful. But the men of unborrowed vision went ahead. They fought, they suffered, and they paid, but they won. So what I love about this quote, and why I feel like this sums it up so much, is it says they had to go on their own. It says that the step was first, the road was new, and the vision unborrowed. And I also love the part where it says the response they received was hatred, right?
Yeah, so that's the people being like, why are you doing something different? Well, this is weird. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
You think about how many people have been persecuted or killed, like legitimately killed for coming up with a new idea. Nikola Tesla, Edison did everything he could to put him out of business when he invented alternating power. Like to the point that he had a botched, he decided he was going to use Tesla's alternating current to try and execute an inmate, which didn't really work. He tried to like electrocute an elephant in Times Square, like all this crazy stuff, because he came up with a better system. Or if you look at like Martin Luther, right? Here's a guy who said, hey, you know what? I think everybody should have access to read the good book. And, you know, he nailed his tenets up to the cathedral door and was persecuted. You think of all these different, like Sir Isaac Newton saying, you know, coming up with gravity and talking about the rotation of the planets around the sun, and like how he was absolutely persecuted for that. And so how many people...
But the world is flat.
Totally.
The world is flat.
Did you know that Pink Floyd was the first band in space?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
I can't remember. You told me the story.
It's because the BBC paid them to just play background music during the moon landing.
That's right.
So if you ever hear Pink Floyd was the first band on the moon or in space, that's...
I remember you telling me that.
That would be the why. So Megan, why do you think that why... Get it? What I did there?
Why?
Why? Why do you think that people who ask the why are so persecuted? Why do you think that people also like ridicule what they're doing? Like it talked about the airplane, right? Being ridiculed for wanting to do that.
I think, okay, so a few things. One, I think it makes them uncomfortable because it's something that is unknown.
Is it disrupting a system?
Yeah, it's kind of like we've been going about this. It works. Like we talked about is, you know, a lot of times we fall into doing things because it works. But if there is not people that ask the why and, you know, fought for that, like we wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have running water. Like, I mean, there's like so many things that we would not have in that change if people are like, well, it works. We have things. So, you know, that, and I think that, and also kind of like it's tried and tested. So kind of along comfort. That. Yeah. It's just like, hey, we have our system. We've tried, we've tested it. It works. And we don't really need to change. And I think a lot of times where people, they look at it and it can be far-fetched where they're like, that's so far-fetched that, you know, they're crazy. And I think a lot of times it's that way where you look at it, where if someone would have told me my senior year of high school that you would be carrying around a small computer that was your phone that carried everything that you needed to do, that you could shop online, you could find addresses, you know, I would have been like, that's crazy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because
it's not the Jetsons, bro.
No, but I mean, at that point, like, I didn't even know what an email was, you know, and to the point where now it's like we walk around with that. And so I think a lot of times it's just people, it makes them uncomfortable. They don't know. And I think that everybody, as soon as something is big, they want to be there to cheer it on. But I think a lot of times it's hard to be there as it's struggling to get things going and through it.
I think we've all been guilty of this. Somebody starts something new, somebody tries something new, and because it's outside of our comfort zone or what we know.
Yeah, like, why are they doing that? So different.
Or you'll hear people rumbling like, why? Did you know so-and-so is doing this?
Yeah, like, it's so weird. Like, why are they doing that? And I think, too, another thing to add is I think we make it about us.
Because it makes us uncomfortable?
No, well, that, or let's say you have someone that out of the blue that just starts doing something totally new. Let's say for work. And you're like, why would they do that? Why?
Well, I remember I blew my dad's mind when I changed industries.
Yeah, and I think it's because it is you're thinking you, and it's something that you would not want to do. It does not fit you. And it's like, so you're going about it where it has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Yeah. And almost to the degree that people hope that they're punished.
Yeah. Or that they don't succeed. I think you sit there and you're like, they'll start that up, but you know, it'll be funny to watch them. You know, but if you, like we've talked about, and even in that quote, the quote that you read is throughout history, the scientists, the inventors, the artists, the thinkers, all of those people, they had to stand out and they had to be different.
Well, and the line says stood alone against the men of their time.
Yeah. And you look at history. You know, like how there are people that we celebrate. Take Martin Luther King, right?
Oh, iconic, absolutely.
Iconic. A man that changed so much and all of that, where, you know, there were people that probably looked at him and were like disgusted by him or like,
you're crazy.
Or even probably some of his own people that are like, why are you trying to have peace when, you know, they would have reason to be angry, or why would you stir the pot, you know, and that. And I think that you look at it, but as someone that celebrated giving his life to something that he felt was such a strong cause. And I think that anytime you spark change,
I think he asked why.
Yeah. Anytime you spark change, there is going to be discomfort in that through the process.
I couldn't agree more on that. Another great quote from The Fountainhead that I think is so powerful. And if you haven't read The Fountainhead, it's a good read. It's a good, it's good training wheels for Atlas Shrugged.
It's a big one too.
It's a big one as well. But I love this. I love this quote. It says, "Man cannot survive except through his mind. He comes on earth unarmed. His brain is his only weapon. Animals obtain food by force. Man had no claws, no fangs, no horns, no great strength of muscle. He must plant his food or hunt it. To plant, he needs the process of thought. To hunt, he needs weapons, and to make weapons, the process of thought. From this simplest necessity to the highest religious abstraction, from the wheel to the skyscraper, everything we are and we have comes from a single attribute of man, the function of his reasoning mind."
Boom.
Boom. So why would we shut off our reasoning mind? If that's the highest attribute of man.
I don't know, Margo.
I don't know, Margo.
I don't know, Margo.
But with that being said, though, I mean, honestly, why would we shut off? I mean, I'm asking you a question. Like
I said, I don't necessarily know the answer. And I think there's fear of people speaking up. I think that there's fear of change from the people that are speaking up, or it's something that just makes them uncomfortable and they project their own feelings or what they would do onto someone else.
So I think, would you like to know my opinion?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So my opinion's threefold. Number one, I think it's like the Matrix. You know, the guy in the Matrix who sells everybody out, who just wants to get plugged back in because he doesn't want to know.
I'm like digging like 20 years ago.
But it is.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a guy in the Matrix who he's gotten out of the Matrix and he hates it. It's like, it's hard. They're living in the submarine in the sewers. They're miserable. And he just wants to go back in. So he rats out where some people are at. So he knows. Okay. So that's number one. Number one, why you wouldn't want to ask. Number two, you already know the answer, but you don't want to know the answer.
True.
I think there's been a lot of times in life that we've gone about things where we've known the answer. I think Megan talked about in past episodes, has talked about stepping down as head coach. You already knew the answer.
I did.
For months.
I mean, yeah, I did. And we've talked about that where, you know the answer, but you almost like, I was being an asshole. Totally. And if you haven't listened to that one, it's like you ask the same question, but when people tell you the answer, you're like, you want to argue with it because you're like, you do not want to arrive that you already know the answer and you know they're right.
And then lastly, I would say fear. You're just afraid. Because you are comfortable and you know, probably in the recesses of your mind, that you're going to get an answer that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Because it's going to change a system, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode. It's going to change something in your life. And because that's coming down the pipeline, it makes things uncomfortable because you know. So there's that fear. And then the fear too, also, there's accountability that comes on it. Like, so if you're asking the why, if you're coming up with something or changing something, you're going to be accountable to that next situation that arrives in your life.
Yeah. Agreed.
So everybody, we're going to start wrapping things up unless you have something else that you'd like to dig into.
I think I'm good. I was just, guys, don't be afraid to stand out and to ask those questions, and it gets other people motivated around you as well. And that's just like where any change, if it's in the workplace or in your marriage or in your community, in your kids' schools, like the asking of the why, it's not that you're trying to go in and be a jerk, just more, hey, you know, like I'm going to ask this question. And I think that is where definitely change comes. And yeah.
Well, I also would say it opens your horizons.
Yeah.
I think you never want to stop learning. It's like that kid that's incessantly saying, why, yeah. why? It's because they want to know. Well, sometimes it's annoying as hell, but they do genuinely want to know. So I think taking that time as an adult to do that, you'll continue to open up more doors. Well, everybody, we are going to bed so we can get up and make it to the airport at oh dark 30 tomorrow morning. So we hope everybody has a great week. We will be thinking of you all as we are sitting on a beautiful white sand beach in Mexico.
Yes. Yes, we will.
You need to go to bed.
I know. Oh, adios. My gosh. Okay, bye.